Occasionally, I'll enter this space early on a weekday morning when the lights are off and all is still, and the spiritual presence of a dozen generations of Episcopalians across 180 years seems almost palpable. I sit in a pew on the lectern side, about 8 rows back, about where Sydney's sitting, and I allow myself to settle into the quiet. Increasingly these days, my prayers are without words. And during my time in this sacred space, I most often look to that resurrection window above the high altar as the locus of my meditation. I can tell you a lot about that window. It was installed after the great 1938 fire that destroyed the cathedral chancel, and it's dedicated to the memory of George Alfred Taylor. There's some dispute as to the window's manufacturer. It was either the Gorham Company or Payne Spears of New York who created that work of art. The window depicts Matthew's rendering of the Easter story. Matthew's the only one of the four gospel writers who tells us that the angel meets the women outside the tomb of Jesus. Matthew says this: "After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone." I can tell you all those things about our resurrection window, but none of those things enters my mind during my morning meditation. Rather, when I sit in the stillness of this church, I'm captivated by an optical illusion that our window presents. You may have noticed it yourself. Because of the greenery that flanks the base of the tomb of Jesus in the background and covers the angel's wingtips, it appears as if the angel's wings have been clipped. For almost 6.5 years now, I have been preoccupied and concerned and curious about that notion. What would it mean for an angel to have clipped wings? What happens when an angel descends to earth but can't return to heaven? How does one destined to soar in starry skies make his way when the beating of his wings is only noise and folly? Have you ever felt that way? Like an angel with clipped wings? Have you ever in your life felt as though you were supposed to soar, but couldn't seem to get off the ground? Or have you felt as though you should know God, and that God's presence might make the very difference in your life, but that the distance between you and God, between you grounded on this earth with clipped wings and God high in God's heaven, is just too great? I think many of us, maybe most of the time, feel like that angel and are acutely aware of our distance from God. We may have some deep intuition that we're created to be in close communion with God, that somehow God intends us to soar like angels, but often that intuition seems like a cruel joke. Loss and disappointment in a world so skewed that fairness is a farce, these seem to be the normal markers of our days. And we catch ourselves wondering if there's any transcendent meaning at all. Other times, if we're honest, we know that we clip our own wings. We can be petty and small. That is, when we're not being grandiose and self-absorbed. We know that the actions we take in this world can be compromised by mixed motives. We feel acutely the guilt and the shame that accompany some of our decisions. Or else we're apathetic toward the issues in this world that we know are of concern to God, preferring to just keep our heads down, not even glancing up at heaven, and focusing on our own individual concerns. And for those of us for whom none of this is operative, it may be because we've spent years willfully blocking out these thoughts, so that we've habituated ourselves to be untroubled by our earthboundness and by God's distance from us. Almost convincing ourselves that if there's a God at all, he doesn't really matter. Well, the distance between God and humanity is the central motif in all of the world's theistic religions. God is up there and we are down here, metaphorically, if not literally speaking. Another common religious image across the religions is that we are separated from God by a great chasm with no way to bridge the distance. In fact, the very purpose of religion, all religion, is to bridge that gap. The purpose of religion, again, all religion, is to provide a conduit between God and humanity, and then for, this is the important part, for religion to broker the contact. We see this in ancient Judaism, in the Jerusalem temple's Holy of Holies, that space where God dwelt, and into which the high priest entered once per year to intercede for the people. And though native religions hardly could be more different than ancient Judaism, they're the same in this respect. The shaman with good medicine speaks to the spirits on behalf of the people and then foretells the outcome of events. Even in Christianity, the very design of our grand basilica-style churches, of which this cathedral is one, the distance and elevation between the people and the altar was intended to emphasize the distance of God from us. And especially in the Middle Ages, the priest was the necessary intermediary between the people down there and God up there. Since the dawn of humanity, religion has provided an important coping function for that very distress that I described at the outset, that feeling of living in the world with clipped wings. Religion, whatever the variety, has provided a means for us to plead with God for mercy or to beg for intercession. But here's the thing. Jesus has no interest in religion. Actually, that's not quite accurate. Jesus has great interest in religion, but his interest is to disrupt it entirely. Because, Jesus says, that whole idea on which religion is predicated, the idea that we are distant from God and that we need a system to connect us from earth to heaven or across the chasm, it's bogus, Jesus says. In every act and every teaching, Jesus claims that religion's very premise is wrong. God is not distant from us. God is as near to us as the air we breathe. God is never absent. If we were fish, God would be the water. On the day of Jesus' crucifixion, the tearing of that temple curtain in the Holy of Holies from top to bottom, that's the sacramental sign that nothing ever separates us from God, least of all the pretensions of religion. In Acts today, through St. Peter's vision of all those animals being made clean, God declares that the ancient purity rules that gave some people access to God and denied others, they're invalid. And St. John the Divine, in his grand vision on Patmos, understands the full implications of Jesus' truth. John sees what the world can and will be when God's children fully recognize that heaven is not a place far away and God does not reside across some chasm. John says, I heard a voice and it said, see, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them and they'll be God's people. And God himself will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things will have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I'm making all things new. In other words, when we recognize that God is not up there or over there or absent altogether, but right here, always surrounding us and permeating us with love, then the old world of distance and loss and disappointment begins to evaporate as the illusion that it has always been. And with the illusion, our despair evaporates too. It is impossible to remain petty and small or self-absorbed or apathetic when we abide in the very presence of God. There are no clipped wings in an Easter world. The church that Jesus birthed, it's not intended to be just another religion. Brokering a distant God. It's the end of religion. The church is to be the people who swim and soar through the very presence of God, both here in this sacred space and also out there where God also is, to share this good news in wonder and joy with all those we meet at the table of the Lord's Supper, in our fellowship, and on the streets toward our homes. We live and we move through the God who is right here, always, making God's home among mortals, so that we need not reach out to God, nor fear any chasm, because God is here, enveloping us with love. Amen.